Hello and welcome to this podcast from Delhi. This is Omi Sanyal, editor of Control Risks in Delhi. And we have today the pleasure of hosting Andrew McIntosh from Shanghai. He is Control Risks head of consulting, technical consulting in the Asia Pacific. We also have in the room Pranav Anand, forensics consultant at Control Risks India. Andrew, we are told that Yinzi is the Mandarin word closest to the word privacy. But the word in Mandarin denotes something illicit or covert. And we are also told that the Chinese have scant regard for individual privacy. But much has also changed in recent times, have they?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. I think that years ago, there was a perception, particularly amongst some of our corporate clients, that individuals in China had no particular concern about individual privacy. There was a view certainly held amongst foreigners that the Chinese government obviously didn't adhere to any form of concern of privacy towards its citizens. Obviously quite a broad regime of not so much interference, but interaction with its citizens' lives, that they didn't necessarily adhere to the same sort of privacy standards. Corporations didn't adhere to the same kind of standards they may have done overseas. Really, it's just not the case. I mean, Chinese citizens, in my experience, have extremely strong knowledge of their personal privacy when it comes to interactions with a private entity. Sure, they understand and know that they don't have a right to privacy from the government per se, but when it comes to their dealings with corporate entities, when it comes to their dealings with their employers, they know absolutely what their rights are from the perspective of privacy. We find some of the complicating factors when you're looking to do investigative work in China being a combination of the data privacy type legislations and rules, but also the Chinese approach to the state secrecy. And a lot of our work in China is often undertaken in China because it can't be taken necessarily outside with controlled risk. So, for example, a lot of technology firms or food and beverage companies, firms operating in what China may view as a strategic sector, would potentially find themselves in bother if they removed something from the jurisdiction that was viewed as a state secret.
Is this clear what constitutes those strategic sectors? What are those strategic sectors, or is it a moving goalpost?
I think what constitutes a strategic sector certainly at the moment is clear to an extent. There are sectors that are obvious, such as the pharmaceutical sector. I think the sectors that touch upon the lives of citizens in China heavily, so food and food safety, pharmaceuticals and the price of drugs, technology from the perspective of the development of the China economy and Chinese IP, certainly come immediately to mind. What isn't very well defined is often the state secrecy side of things. There is almost a sense with the state secrets law that there's this element of, we'll tell you if we think something is a state secret. While there are a number of clear factors that do contribute, and we assist clients with initial level reviews towards state secrecy during investigative matters, there's a broader risk management, this rather than legal exercise, when looking at this sort of material.
Pranav, the concept of privacy in India, especially the individual's rights and their knowledge of what constitutes those rights, it's not that very clear in India, is it?
It's not particularly clear in India. In fact, from a business standpoint also, employees use their office machines to do their personal work, browsing emails. I've had cases where employees have done work during office hours using office equipment and consider that to be their private data.
Oh, so they've done moonlighted on the side.
On the side, where then they, at the time of leaving the company, they say, we want to copy this data across, but it technically doesn't belong to them, which is a concept which they cannot grasp that much. And if you look at our social media, a lot of people are posting things that they shouldn't be. Like, for example, of late, the latest trend is posting boarding passes with all their frequent flyer details and such, which can then lead to other found out other information. If once you've got the person's PNR, you can get their entire flight details as to what they're doing or what they're not doing. So, which is something which is not very prevalent in India at the moment.
That poses a security risk
for the person and other people around them as well, which they don't really think about.
Right. And the case for privacy has come up recently for this universal biometric identity register that the government is pushing for wider use of it. So people have been concerned about their individual privacy. The laws, as we understand them, on data security and privacy, both have evolved over the last 10 years in India, haven't they?
They have evolved in the last 10 years, but problem is implementing those laws. Mm-hmm. For example, the UIDs program is a great program.
UID being the biometric identification.
It's a brilliant program, but unfortunately, it's being poorly executed. We've seen cases where dogs have UID cards.
Dogs. Yes.
And so it's just that the person who's taking the data entry at that point in time is not trained enough or doesn't care enough to input the data in the right manner, or they think it's a joke.
Pranav Anand, thank you very much. And thanks also to my other colleague, Andrew McIntosh, for your thoughts on privacy and intellectual property in China and India. This is Omi Sanyal in the Control Risks Delhi office. Thanks for listening. Bye for now.